Today on Dog Pound Report, the Browns bring Brian Hartline back home. They tender their 4 restricted free agents, and we give you an update on the Browns' unrestricted free agents. This is Dog Pound Report. Good morning and welcome to Dog Pound Report, a show that will cover all Browns and NFL news leading up to the 2015 season. I'm Nathan Zagura here with my man Andy Baskin. And Andy, what a wild start to free agency. Now the Browns not huge players early, but that's what they said they were going to do. But our first trending topic is they signed Ohio native Brian Hartline to the team.
How can you not be excited about Brian Hartline? You look back to the last year, you've got Dante Whitner coming in here. So the Buckeye Express making its way up to the lakefront. Brian Hartline's a guy you know exactly what you're going to get. He's going to give you big yards if you can get him to the ball. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's consistent. He plays and plays again. Look at all the seasons. It's 6 seasons. 5 of those seasons, he's played in 16 games. So you know exactly what you're going to get, and the fans love it. You got a Buckeye. You got a guy from Canton. How can you not enjoy this signing?
And Mike Pettine was blown away, said he was passionate about being a Brown and chose the Browns over the New England Patriots. And Hartline's a guy who's had 1,000 yards in 2012, 1,000 yards in 2013. He's played productively. He's 6'2", which is important with wide receiving core. And I think he's going to be a nice addition.
Speaking of Hartline, let's go to Miami right now from ESPN's NFL Nation reporter James Walker. What can we expect out of Brian Hartline, James?
Yeah, you know, if you look at the numbers from last year, it's easy to say that Brian Hartline's production fell off. But when you look deeper at it, me covering the Miami Dolphins, being there every day, really, I think most of his struggles was schematic. The Dolphins came in, new offensive coordinator last year in Bill Lazor. They really changed the scheme to where Brian Hartline was sort of phased out of the offense. They were doing a lot of quick hitting things, a lot of things that Bill Lazor came from the Philadelphia school of Chip Kelly offense. So that kind of scheme just didn't fit Brian Hartline. That's why he went back-to-back years with 70 catches in 2012 and 2013, and his production fell off to 39 catches. I still think Hartline still has a lot left in the tank. He was just a 1,000-yard receiver 2 seasons ago. And, you know, even not knowing who's going to throw him the ball in Cleveland, I think that's an even bigger question. But I wouldn't be surprised if Brian Hartline has another 50 or 60-catch year for the Browns.
James, what does Brian Hartline bring to our receiving core?
Well, he's definitely a hard worker. And you guys in Northeast Ohio, Hartline's a Canton native, knows the definition of hard work. And even last year when he struggled, you're struggling in the offense, he wasn't really getting in rhythm, he worked hard at it. Dolphins coaches consistently told me he's working at it, he's working at it, he's working at it. Eventually something will come through, he'll have a breakthrough. It never really happened last year for him. And I think, you know, because his salary was going to be $5.95 million in 2015, just the salary didn't match the production. But it wasn't because he didn't work at it. I just think just schematically things didn't work out. But he's going to Cleveland with a new offense, a system that will probably fit him a lot better than what the Dolphins ran last year. And you're definitely getting a hard worker and a guy that's a team first guy. He was a 4th round pick, and I really have a lot of respect for those guys. They come in as mid round picks, late round picks, end up having a pretty good career. And Hartline was one of those guys that worked his tail off to make sure he was a productive player.
James, I know he kind of laughed about being called a slot receiver earlier this week, but what are the best wide receivers out there to balance him out so all the pressure isn't on Brian Hartline?
Yeah, he's definitely not a number one receiver. I wouldn't say he was a number one receiver at any point in his career. Even with the Dolphins, when he was leading them in receptions, you know, the Dolphins were better off having a number one guy, and I think that's why they eventually signed Mike Wallace to sort of complement Brian Hartline. But if the Browns are going to go into next year expecting Hartline to be a number one receiver, a guy that's going to catch, I don't know, 80, 90 balls, things like that, that's not really his game. He's a guy that really feeds off number two cornerbacks. He's better than a lot of number two cornerbacks in the league. But if you put a Darrell Revis on him or Richard Sherman or some of the top cornerbacks in the NFL, that's where he'll struggle. So, you know, the Browns, it'll be in their best interest to either draft a guy, one of the top, you know, draft picks in the league at that position, or sign another guy in free agency to really take the pressure off Brian Hartline. I think that's really where you can have sort of his best production, where he can give you a good 50 or 60 catch year, as opposed to expecting him to catch 80 or 90 balls. I don't really think that's in the best interest of the Browns.
James, in about 30 seconds, tell me what we can look for on ESPN.com from you.
Please make sure you check out ESPN.com's Dolphins page, as well as myself on Twitter at James Walker NFL.
Thank you very much, James. We'll talk to you soon and make sure we read you on ESPN.com. That brings us to our second trending topic. This past week, the Browns placed tenders on Gibson, Kitchen, Robertson, and Bademosi.
Well, listen, these are the restricted free agents. They placed second-round tenders on Tashawn Gibson and Craig Robertson, giving the Browns the right to match any offer to them. And if a team does try to sign them away, the Browns let them go, they get that team's second-round pick in return. So it's a tender saying, we definitely want to keep these guys. We see Gibson and Robertson as big pieces of the future. They have the right to match any offer to Johnson Badamosi or Ishmaili Kitchen. But I think the big focus is on Gip. 11 interceptions the last 2 years, second most in the league behind Richard Sherman. Now the Browns kind of have control. They're giving them a salary bump up to $2.4 million. They have an opportunity to match and negotiate and work on that long-term deal, which I think they're doing right now with him and Craig Robertson.
As a player, you've got to feel good if you've been second-round tender.
Yeah, that's as good as it gets. Nobody in the NFL's gotten a first-round tender this year. Nobody got one last year either. So, Gip, they're saying, well, you're a valuable piece of this organization. We want to keep you here. We love what you did last year with the 6 interceptions. Played phenomenally well, and now we're going to try to work out a long-term deal. This buys you some time and says, listen, everybody in the NFL, hands off. And now we get to our third trending topic, updates on the Browns free agents. Last week we talked 6 unrestricted free agents. We didn't think any of them would be back at the time, and it looks like that's going to be the case. We'll start with Brian Hoyer signing a 2-year deal with the Houston Texans.
Look, Brian Hoyer is in a place where Brian Hoyer wants to be right now. He's back with Bill O'Brien, a guy that he was with in New England. They've got a good relationship. He's going to have the opportunity to try to start, and I think that's what Brian Hoyer wanted all along. He wanted a chance to battle for a starting job. Now he's got it. He'll go up against Ryan Mallett. So Brian is exactly where he wants to be. I know a lot of Browns fans, because he's from Cleveland, because he had success here, want to see him do well. We'll get to see what he does in Houston. So that's where he is. He's in a place where he wants to be right now.
Got a 2-year contract, over $10 million, about 5 guaranteed there. Jabal Sheard goes to New England, 2 years, $11 million, 5.5 guaranteed. Wasn't really a fit for what the Browns were doing in this 3-4. Better as a 4-3 DN with all those hybrid fronts they play in New England. I think he's going to be a very good fit for the Patriots.
Well, absolutely. But I think it's funny how we look at some of these and we take perspective, especially when we're hungry in free agency, to hear news about our own team. If you went to social media this week, you would have thought that Jabal Sheard was a 10-time Pro Bowler here with the Browns. He was a nice player while he was here. You could see that we were going through transitions and that, you know, defensive coordinator, defensive sets, things had changed, and that made him expendable. And now he's in New England. I'm sure folks wish him the best of luck.
Absolutely. Tough guy played hurt. Good luck to Jabal in New England. And another guy who cashed in, Buster Skrine. 4 years, $25 million, 13 guaranteed. Going to the Jets. He's going to play alongside Revis. They also signed Cromartie. So a lot of money in that secondary there for the Jets. And Buster, I guess, is going to be probably the highest paid nickel corner in the NFL and certainly well deserved.
Absolutely. And you talk about a guy that kind of embodies this city just a little bit and the way he played and how hard he worked. And, hey, he got knocked down, but he got himself back up. And that's where Buster Skrine is right now. The pressure, though, it gets turned up when you're in New York, and people are going to be looking at him with a little bit more scrutiny than they did. If he thinks things were bad here in Cleveland in the beginning, maybe by the fans, if things don't work out in New York, those fans are going to be turning up the heat, and he's going to be looking, oh, where do I get a towel? Things are going to be kind of
hot. He's got 13 million guaranteed reasons
to
be okay.
And I think we saw that. Didn't you see that? We thought this guy was, we knew that he was going to be wanted and that the price was going to be pretty steep for here as well.
No question, and that's why he moved up there to New York. And then finally, Jordan Cameron, seems like he's going to Miami. There was some misinformation out there for a while. Looked like he might be coming back to Cleveland. Looks like he'll be with the Miami Dolphins on a 2-year deal.
Absolutely. Not surprised at all. He's got to deal with concussions in the next stage when he goes to Miami. So let's see what happens down there. Jordan gave some great years here in Cleveland.
Well, those were our trending topics. When we come back on Dog Pound Report, Browns senior staff writer Andrew Gribble dives deep on the Browns restricted free agents, specifically safety Tashawn Gibson. We talk about Josh McCown and hear from the head coach Mike Pettine about him. And finally, we take a look at Alex Mack touring the world with the USO.
I would like to not have to play in a Pro Bowl next year because I'm playing in a Super Bowl. I would like for this team, for us to be so close this year, and we knew what winning feels like. You think about those kind of things and, you know, winning football games, and I think that naturally, I mean, even this year, that was on my mind. But you think about it and say, next year, seeing that we have this success, we can only build and get better. And I think that there's no regressing from here. It's only progress. And I think that moving forward with the guys, we're going to get, you know, a lot of guys in contract, but the core guys, we're getting back, and I think that that's huge. And, you know, you want to be one of those teams that, you know, win football games and being able to move forward. And Dante Whitten said it best when he first came here. When you win, everybody enjoys success and benefits from it. And that's a testament. So if we can start winning football games, turn this thing around, the city needs a winner besides the Cavaliers, you know, why not the Browns?
And welcome back to the Dog Pound Report. Joining us now is Andrew Gribble from the
Gribbs.
The Gribbs is here, the senior writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. What are some of the big stories you're working on this week?
Well, you know, one of the most read stories of the entire year so far was us simply putting out there that the Browns have tendered their four players to Sean Gibson, Craig Robertson, Johnson Badamosi, Ishmaili Kitchen. But the big name the fans are talking about is Tashaun Gibson. He got the second round tender, gets his salary up to about $2.4 million. It shows some value. He worked his way up. He's an undrafted free agent initially and was one of the best safeties in the league last year. But people are starting to wonder, does that mean he's at risk of being lost? But really, I think the odds are he's coming back, just need to work out a deal, or he can play under that tender all year.
Yeah, in NFL terms, second-round tenders, you're saying, I want to keep this person, reward him. And the Browns are in good shape with him. They can keep under the tender. They can match any offer. And then if they need to, still buy another year, franchise him a season after this if they want to buy time.
Yeah, and the thing about tenders is no one in the league got a first-round tender this year or last year. Second-round tender is very common. Craig Robertson also got it. That's another testament to how much he has improved as a player. I mean, this is another undrafted guy who went through his struggles early, but he came back and had a big season in Mike Pettine's defense. So those guys are the two guys that got two second-round tenders. The other two are the lower tenders, but they're still likely coming back as well.
Any concerns about Gibson getting tendered by another team? Is there another team we need to worry about?
You know, I don't know if there's any apparent team out there. You look, maybe you think a bad team would want him, a team with a higher draft pick, but they would also be giving up a second-round pick high in the second round. That's almost close to a first round. So the teams you worry about are maybe teams with lower second-round picks, but at the same time, picks are so valued in the league. And Tashaun Gibson is a great player, but I think this leans more toward the Browns getting him back.
I mean, you think about it. Brandon Marshall gets traded for, what, a seventh-round pick. Lodi Nada, we'll talk about later, gets traded for a fourth-round pick. Second-round picks, you don't see those traded very often in the National Football League, so I think he's pretty safe there. You also talked about Josh McCown. Mike Pettine, strong words about Josh McCown. Not here to coach or mentor. He's here to start and play for the Browns.
Yeah, I think the storyline almost got skewed a little bit too much on that end of the spectrum about him being a mentor and really kind of bringing up these young quarterbacks. And, you know, Pettine said that's all well and good, but at the same time, they could have brought a coach to do that. You know, they don't need it just a mentor. They believe in this guy as a player, and I think they look back to 2013, what he did with the Bears, 14 touchdowns, one pick, and Pettine has talked a lot about other circumstances at Tampa Bay. He hasn't really gone to specifics about that, but we can kind of connect the dots, you know, the loss of his offensive coordinator right before the start of the season, and then just seemed like a lot of dysfunction there at Tampa Bay throughout the season, and it just kind of piled up. So they believe in Josh McCown. They think if they need him to start day one, he can do it. They're not committing to that point yet. Thad Lewis was added just earlier this week as well. That's another veteran quarterback in the room, so the competition is just going to be driven nonstop throughout the season.
All right. We can't wait to see Alex Mack get back on the field, but he is having some fun right now, and he's doing some stuff for the USO. Read that story on ClevelandBrowns.com as well. What's he up to, and how's his schedule?
The question is, what is he not up to? This guy's been everywhere, and the best news, he's on his feet. You know, I think everyone wants to see where he is in his recovery. We'll get more into that later as OTAs, training camp, stuff like that comes up. But he seems to be in good shape, good spirits, and really, this is stuff he loves doing. Loves being with the troops, loves being overseas, teaching football to players and everything like that. So, you know, the story with him going forward is how much better can he make the Browns, because we saw how good the Browns were with him in that lineup, and he's going to be raring to go.
Now, Andrew, also a lot of NFL news breaking this week with the league year calendar starting on Tuesday. Trades fast and furious, probably the most pertinent to the Browns. Haloti Ngata traded from the Ravens, which is great. They were the fourth-ranked run defense last year. Get him out of here so Crow and West can run, going to Detroit. And the Ravens also have lost Torrey Smith, their top wide receiver, 11 touchdowns a year ago to the 49ers.
Yeah, they brought back Justin Forsett, though, that they get that running back, but again, the Browns are going to be happy to not see Haloti Ngata. Maybe they'll see him in the preseason with the Lions, but not when those games really matter much. But you know, the trade that really stood out to me, and you just don't see these trades happen, but Jimmy Graham for Max Unger. Two Pro Bowl guys. Jimmy Graham is beloved in New Orleans. Seattle, though, gets a tight end that they really could have used on that last play of the Super Bowl. And it's just this new NFL hot stove that's happening, and fans are just eating it up.
I mean, it is kind of crazy. I don't think I've ever seen it. Have you seen anything this nuts? I mean, this has been really fun, and I think it's been fun for the fans as well, because you can't go 5 seconds without looking and saying, well, I can't believe that guy got traded.
Yeah, I need to charge I need two phones. I'm charging everything. I'm scrolling up and down. You know, we've got quarterbacks getting traded for each other, Nick Foles, Sam Bradford, and it's one of those things where these trades, you can debate who got the better end of the deal. There's no clear-cut answer. Did St. Louis get the better end of the deal, or did Philadelphia? We don't know, and we won't know until the season starts.
And Chip Kelly's not done, brings in DeMarco Murray to replace LeSean McCoy. basically at the same, a similar salary. So he got LeSean McCoy traded, brings in Kiko Alonso, and gets DeMarco Murray. It'll be the first time in NFL history the leading rusher in the NFL has played for the same team when it's two different guys in the same year. So
it is weird, though, that Chip Kelly's taking a very college approach to this. I mean, if you look at at traditional NFL teams, it's kind of methodical. And when you listen to Chip Kelly, he sounds like a guy that's coming from college and he's recruiting and he's going to get his guy.
He sounds like a guy who has nothing to lose because you know what? He doesn't. If this doesn't work out in Philadelphia, the best college opening that comes up, he will go there and be the highest paid college coach.
Andrew, great stuff. Check him out at clevelandbrowns.com. When we come back, Lindsey Jones from USA Today will be with us for her thoughts on the Browns' free agency foray thus far.
Oh, man, it feels unbelievable. Just, you know, the Browns have so much faith in me and to continue my career here in Cleveland. Oh, man, I love the Dog Pound, man. You know, I really appreciate the fans, you know, being there for us 100%. I can't wait to play some more years here. Coach Pellet brings a lot to the table. You know, I think with last year we can build from and we can keep moving forward next year.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Joining us via Skype is USA Today's NFL columnist, Lindsey Jones. Lindsey, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Lindsey, what do you make of the Browns' start to free agency, and what are the rumors you're hearing about the Browns?
Yeah, well, it's been a fairly quiet, I guess, surprisingly quiet and probably disappointingly quiet if you're a Browns fan, with the exception of, you know, signing Brian Hartline. That was kind of it for the start of free agency. I mean, obviously you could go back to the, you know, signing Josh McCown, and I'm sure the Browns would argue that that was a really big signing, but that didn't happen in the free agency period when kind of the whole NFL world is abuzz about guys changing teams and big deals.
Lindsey, the team has said they want to build through the draft. Is that the right way to go?
I mean, I think when you look at the franchises that have been successful over a number of years, that, you know, the ones that are consistently making the playoffs, and, you know, it's kind of the Pittsburgh Steelers model and very much so the Green Bay Packers model. That's what you do. But sometimes when you need to make a jump, and if you have a lot of holes to fill, you have to spend somewhere. And I think they did that last year, you know, the first year of the Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine era. They made some nice signings that helped out in free agency. You know, you kind of got to get the right guys in there at first. And, you know, if you need to change the culture of a locker room and you need more guys like Dante Whitner and Carlos Dansby, the guys that they went out and were aggressive and signed for early in free agency last year.
Lindsey, the Browns' Mike Pettine has said he wants the right player at the right price. That's been Ray Farmer's strategy. So they set out the early kind of big spending portion of free agency. Who are some people that are out there still available that you think are good fits for the Browns given their needs?
Yeah, I mean, a couple new names were added to the free agent market late in the week, Thursday. Dwayne Bowe was released by Kansas City. Stevie Johnson was released by San Francisco. So those are two names that could be interesting. You know, tight end is kind of a wild ride over the course of this week or late in the week and probably still will be over the course of the weekend. So that'll be kind of interesting to watch. You know, Parrish Cox, the cornerback who's played for Denver and San Francisco, most recently with the Niners, played really well for the Niners last year.
Hey, Lindsey, have you ever seen an offseason like this one? I mean, you're quarterback for quarterback, trades, free agency. I mean, this has been a pretty unique offseason, especially with the new NFL New Year. This is, I think this is great for the NFL as far as exposure goes, too.
Tuesday morning, you know, free agency didn't start till 4 o'clock Eastern on Tuesday. And Tuesday morning, I was having a, you know, coffee with my husband, and he said, oh, today's going to be so boring. You know, everything's, wow. Everything already happened. And I was like, no. And then sure enough, at, you know, 3:50, 3:55, the Jimmy Graham Seattle trade goes down, the Haloti Ngata and Detroit trade goes down, and then the quarterback for quarterback, where Chip Kelly is, it's not like he's playing fantasy football. I mean, it's just nuts. You don't get those player for player, quarterback for quarterback trades pretty much ever. So it's just that really just set the tone for just a wild first couple of days. That you know, the first wave probably ended when DeMarco Murray picked Philadelphia. That was probably kind of the end of that first group. But, yeah, I mean, we saw some wild, wild stuff over the span of, like, five days.
It certainly is never dull in the NFL. Lindsey, thanks so much for joining us. Dog Pound, stay tuned when we come back. Was I right or was I wrong a week ago? It's time for the bold predictions on DPR.
The camaraderie we have in our room is just incredible. I mean, just like I said, all the way down from Los down to our coach, Driz. You know, it's just, you got guys in the room who want to learn a game of football and want to be a part of Cleveland. And, I mean, that doesn't just go for our room, that goes for our whole defense. You know, I mean, I pride myself on talking to everyone. You know, and I mean, everyone, I felt the same energy from everyone from week one all the way to week 16.
And welcome back to Dog Pound Report. It's time now for our weekly predictions, where we tell you what we are convinced is going to happen with the Browns in the coming week, or really in the NFL at large, Andy. So we'll start with you.
All right, let's talk about Marcus Mariota for a second, because
is he coming to the Browns?
Oh, he's here. They're going to trade every pick for him. They're going to go
Ditka. Let's go.
They are going to go Ditka on this thing. Here's what I think is going to happen, because I think that, you know, after the combine, it seemed like everyone kind of backed off him. They're like, well, maybe between him and Jameis Winston, there's kind of a gap. I wonder how far he's going to fall. I think over the next week, maybe week and a half, all of the hype's going to start moving him back up. And then, who knows, by the draft, people might say, oh, well, maybe Tampa Bay is going to take him instead of Jameis Winston. I think the hype machine is going to start on Mariota right now, bigger than it was.
I still think Winston goes one, but I always thought Tennessee is going to take him at number two. Why wouldn't they? Zach Mettenberger, that's where you're going in the future there? Why wouldn't they take him? And apparently had a huge contingent at his pro day on Thursday. So I agree with you. I think he's going to climb the boards. I don't think he gets out of the top five in the NFL draft. Now, as for me, my bold prediction, the Browns will bring in and sign either Dwayne Bowe or Steve Johnson. Last week I said a big receiver. I think they're bringing in another one, and I think it's going to be either Bowe or Johnson, who are cut by the Chiefs and 49ers respectively.
Are you still going to draft one then? High?
Absolutely. You've got to. These guys, I'd like to bring in on one-year prove-it deals. Now, Bo's got the connection to Ray Farmer. Ray Farmer was in Kansas City at the time they drafted Bo. Steve Johnson was in Buffalo when Petten was there in 2013. And at Kentucky, his college coach, Joker Phillips, now the Browns wide receiver coach. So there are some connections with those guys. I think one of those two ultimately end up coming in and being with the Browns. Dog Pound, thanks for joining us this week. Make sure to tune in to myself and Matt Wilhelm on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850. And, of course, my man Andy Baskin right here on News Channel 5 and on 92.3 from 10 to 2 on Baskin and Phelps. That's the Dog Pound Report. Remember, we bark together, Cleveland.